Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a question for you. How would you feel if somebody gave you $86,400 every day? Feel pretty good about that, right? Imagine for a moment that somebody gave you $86,400 every single day with the stipulation that you must spend all of this $86,400 every day. And if you don't, you don't get any rollover dollars. Basically, if you don't spend the $86,400, the next day it's gone, but you get a new $86,400. Whoa! Sounds like a great dream, huh? I imagine that if you were given such an opportunity to have $86,400 every single day, you'd probably think about some very wise ways to use your money. You'd want to be a good steward of this. Maybe you'd call up Dave Ramsey and ask for some advice and figure out a way how to be good stewards of the money that you are given. Now, November, as some of you know, is sort of a stewardship emphasis, and today I want to look at the stewardship not of money, but of time. Now, I don't think any of you have this arrangement of getting $86,400 every single day, but you do, by the grace of God, have 86,400 seconds each day. And they don't carry over to the next day. You start out with a new set of 86,400 seconds each day. And the question for us is, how do we use that time which God has given to us? As the song goes, 5,000, 2,500, 600 minutes in a year. And if you do the math for seconds, and if you live 75 years average, and if you live longer than that, God bless you. But if you live 75 years, that means that you have been given 2.37 billion seconds. 2.37 billion seconds in a lifetime. Now, that seems like a lot of seconds, but as you know, and especially as you get older, you know how fast those seconds click and tick. Psalm chapter 90 verse 10 says this, "The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away." Tick, 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 tick. So how is it that we use the time that God has given to us? Well, some of this is used on the basic things that occur as you are a human being. If you are a human being who is getting adequate sleep, that means that you have spent in your lifetime of 75 years, 25 years of your life is spent sleeping. About 4.4 years of your life is spent eating. About 2.5 of your years is spent cooking. 4.3 years driving a car. If you're a man, on average, you spend about 3,000 hours in your life shaving, which is about 4 months of your life spent shaving. Now, this is just stuff I found. So women on average spend about 287 days of their life picking out what they're going to wear. We could talk about this after the service, but 287 days of your life picking out what to wear. I'm not going to argue with you if you have something different. 5 years of your life surfing the internet. An average person, 9 years of your life watching television, 2 of those years, commercials. And maybe you don't watch TV, maybe you don't use much time on social media, but at the same time, there are times when some of our leisure time might be used in ways that really isn't terribly beneficial, with something that absorbs our time and leaves us with not enough time for other things that are important. Remember the game Minesweeper? Anybody ever play Minesweeper? Oh yeah, Minesweeper. Nowadays, I don't know, a lot of people probably don't play Minesweeper, but if you play Minesweeper too long, it becomes Mindsweeper, and it can be really, really distracting. Nowadays, it's probably more along the lines of, for your phone, maybe something like Fruit Ninja, or Candy Crush, maybe Words with Friends, and let's not forget the hours spent scrolling through Facebook, or binging on Netflix, or getting engrossed in that hobby of yours to the point where you've neglected relationships and other important things that need to get done. There are times when our time is not used very productively. Paul addresses this issue of time when he talks to the Thessalonians in the second chapter, or the second book of the Thessalonians. I would like to give you a little context, though. 2 Thessalonians is obviously the second of the two letters that Paul has written to the church in Thessalonica. And Thessalonica is one of the seaports in Macedonia, and Macedonia is north of Greece. So Paul, on his second missionary journey, has helped establish this church in Thessalonica in approximately 51 AD. And so Paul, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. He's pointing out that Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, he follows this up with a second letter, for it seems that some of the Thessalonians may have thought that Jesus was going to come like the very next week, and so some of them may have stopped working, and they may have just sort of sat up on a mountaintop and sat down and waited for Jesus to come. Plus, there may have also been people that were just involved with idleness. You know, different people in the society may have had a lot of time on their hands because of their social status. Whatever the case may be, Paul then speaks these words to the Thessalonians in chapter 3. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. Now, he's talking about brothers and sisters, brethren. So brothers and sisters, keep away from that person who's being idle. Why would Paul say such a thing? Well, he wouldn't want this attitude to spread among different people. And he's addressing people that are using their time poorly. Proverbs chapter 26 speaks about idleness, as it says in this, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. That's quite a picture, isn't it? Yeah. Paul, instead, he says, stay away from those that are being idle. It's a bad example. Instead, follow that which we have given to you, that imitate the tradition we have given to you. And what is Paul talking about? Well, he goes on and he says in verse 7 of chapter 3, for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. Now, Paul could have relied on people supplying his needs, but Paul chose, as an example, to work among the people. Remember, Paul was a tent maker, and so Paul did various tasks to support himself, giving himself an example that he was not going to be idle, but he was going to work. What happens when there is idleness? Well, have you ever heard the phrase, an idle hands or a devil's workshop? That's a very interesting picture. Idle hands or a devil's workshop. And then the other one is an idle mind is the devil's playground. What happens when we start frittering away our time? Well, our mind and our hands find things to do when we're not being productive. And this can happen whether you're working or whether you're retired. Paul talks in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. What happens? You got too much time on your hands. You start poking your nose in other people's business because you don't have enough to take care, enough time for your own stuff. Maybe this can happen in the workplace. You're doing your work in the workplace, and maybe someone comes up to you and says, hey, have you heard the latest news about so-and-so? And you get pulled in and you say, hey, what's happening? What's going on? Or maybe you yourself have been that person where you go around and say, hey, you know, you heard happened about the VP of such-and-such and so-and-so? What can happen is instead of focusing on the work at hand, we could get involved with some of these other things that distract us from what's really important. And then maybe you've had the thing where you're working on your computer and you've got one tab here with Minesweeper or some other game or Facebook, and then you're doing your work. And the boss comes in and quickly the other screen comes up. It can happen. We can find ourselves doing idle work even while we're supposed to be working. I would imagine it can also happen in retirement. And, you know, again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine that in retirement there could be a temptation to just sort of lounge around. If you don't have a clear direction or focus, there might be a temptation to just get absorbed with watching hours of TV or finding yourself just not doing anything really productive. Whether we're working or retired, there is a temptation to be idle and to not use the precious 86,400 seconds of each day. You might say to yourself, well, I don't really have that problem. You look at my life is so scheduled that I have no free time. You might consider yourself to be kind of like the white rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. I'm late for a very important date. No time to say hello, goodbye. I'm late. I run and then I hop, hop, hop. I wish that I could fly. There's danger if I dare to stop, and there's the reason why. You see, I'm overdue. I'm in a rabbit stew. Can't even say goodbye, hello, I'm late. But you know, the irony is that overwork can also be a poor stewardship of time. I think sometimes we might consider ourselves to be indispensable to other people or indispensable to the Lord. I think this can especially affect clergy and those who are in the church. Because after all, we know the value of time, that time is a gift from God, and we should use it in productivity. It's not as if God could, you know, work without me, right? There can be that temptation to start overworking and overbook our schedules so that, ironically, we don't have time for our family. We don't have time for meaningful rest. Rest in the Lord and His Word and in daily devotions, because, after all, we don't have enough time doing God's work. We start becoming human doings instead of human beings. And the irony of this is that also at the end of the day, if you've been overworked and you're working and working and working and working, what do you feel like doing when you get back home? You feel like vegging because you have no energy for anything else productive. So you sit in front of the TV or the internet or whatever else for hours, and then you go, oh, why did I do that? That was stupid. The truth is, though, that we honestly don't know how much time we have left. I think sometimes we just take for granted this gift of time, and it truly is a gift. But those of you that are veterans who know of comrades or know of stories of people who have been in combat, you know that time is not guaranteed. Those 86,400 seconds each day are not guaranteed. A bullet comes whizzing by and boom, your life is over. We don't know how much time we have left. And also, as we are here in the second to last Sunday of the church year, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Christ is coming back, and we don't know when He is coming back. It could be next week. It could be next month. It could be at any time. So where is the focus of this precious gift of time that God has given to us? Luke chapter 21, verse 34 says, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." But as we go forward with this life that God has given to us, I take comfort in this, that Christ has redeemed not only you, but He has redeemed the time that He has given to you. You may be feeling guilty about the waste of time that you have done this past week, but remember this, that Christ has died and risen for you to redeem the time that He has given to you. He took His time to come to earth, to live with 86,400 seconds in his days, and his time was cut short as he was killed upon the cross, but he did so for you. And in so doing, he has given purpose and meaning and value to those 86,400 seconds. You see, sometimes I think that we waste time because we fail to see the value that has been given to us in those times. I mean, we might get the attitude sometimes like we find in Ecclesiastes, you know, I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. But you see, Christ has redeemed your time, giving it value. As Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The verses before say it is by grace you are saved through faith. This not of yourselves, not by works, so that no man may boast. But now then, God has good works prepared in advance for you. That's a pretty neat thing to think that waking up in the morning, God has good works already planned out for you to do, to give value and meaning to the time that he has given to you. It says in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." And as we will sing in our offertory, "We give thee but thine own. Whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." And as our sermon hymn said in that wonderful verse 1, "With the Lord begin your task, Jesus will direct it. For his aid and counsel ask, Jesus will perfect it. Every morn with Jesus rise, and when day is ended, in his name then close your eyes, be to him commended." Not only do we have an opportunity to find value in the 86,400 seconds that God has given to us in working, doing those good works which God has prepared, we also have that opportunity to find rest in the Lord, to be a human being, to know that your value is not based on what you do, but based on who you are in Christ Jesus. And that is where we find joy and derive strength to continue serving with our focus on Jesus Christ, knowing that we are loved, that Christ has redeemed us and also redeemed the time that he has given to us. So we go forward, thanking the Lord for the gift of time, thankful that he has redeemed this time, until that time when Christ does return and when we enjoy a timeless eternity with our Savior Jesus. May he give us his strength. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.